Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're great to have you with us to listen to us. Hopefully we can present some useful, helpful, and eye-opening information over the next hour. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Donna Stebbins.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Sharon Bahakis.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Well, welcome, everybody. Now,
we have some special guests. Excuse me. We have some special guests today from the Daughters of the American Revolution. And since this is Constitution Week, and I realize this is airing after the end of Constitution Week, and I'm sorry about that, but we're going to talk about the DAR, and we're going to talk about the Constitution.
Well, Mary, thank you. This is Donna Stebbins, and I am the chairperson for Constitution Week, and we've been involved with a lot of activities. Actually, Mary, you were only a day behind. but we did have two initial events that actually started before Constitution Week. So Constitution Week is from September 17th through the 23rd, and it was made possible by a wonderful woman who lived a while back, named Gertrude Sprague Carraway. And she was a force to reckon with. And she was with the DAR. She was the president general, the only president general in North Carolina. So Gertrude worked for the New York Times, for the Associated Press. She never married. She and her sister were wonderful comedians, or they were they had great sense of humor. But anyway, she worked with a congressman out of California, and she worked with also President Eisenhower and his wife. She was very close to them, and they ended up getting it on the national calendar. So it runs from the 17th through the 23rd. We had an event at Farmers Market, and we had an event at the History Center. We collaborated with the palace, and we did an event yesterday in front of the palace gates with wonderful speakers that had very thought-provoking, well put together speeches, and they talked about the Constitution. And we've had many events at the schools, and we've had we have banners over the highways in New Bern, and we have other events that are just brochures with QR codes, and there's signs all throughout New Bern. You can play along with this game that has to do with the Constitution, and those brochures you can find in the Cub House.
Tell us about what it takes to join the DAR.
Well, for me, Mary,
Can I interrupt you? Would you tell us what the DAR is?
Okay.
What does that stand for?
The DAR, as well as the SAR, is the Daughters of the American Revolution and the Sons of the American Revolution. The Sons of the American Revolution were founded first, and we actually were partnered with them, and then they kind of wanted us to do our own thing. So then it became the Daughters of the American Revolution, and I think it was 1890, I think we founded somewhere around there. But anyway, in order to be in the Daughters of the American Revolution, you have to prove that your lineage goes back during that time, but actually you have to prove that ancestor had to do something during that time for the aid, Revolutionary
Revolution.
War. And so I had, my great-grandmother was a DAR, so all I had to do, I had her PIN, all I had to do was prove my linkage to her with my dad's death certificate, whatnot. But my father had, for instance, on both sides of his family, that was his mother's side, but his father's side, that ancestor that came here in 1634 was named Roland Stebbins, and I think I might be the only one in my chapter, I could be wrong, that carries that name. So I still have that ancestor's name. So, but what we had to do, and we're doing this thing called a supplemental, I have to prove that family line. So right now there's two people that we've done all the research, and there are genealogists in the Sons of the American Revolution and also the Daughters of the American Revolution who have taken classes and whatnot, and they use Ancestry.com, they use 23andMe probably. My father used the Great Mormons, because back in those days there wasn't any 23andMe or any of that, or Ancestry.com. So anyway, so we found two, a father and a son. One was in the militia in Massachusetts, and then the father did something in town. But like, for instance, if you gave a pig, if you gave grain, if you helped out the militia, if you did any small tasks, probably, you were considered, and if you can prove that to that person.
Now, I think the irony is, Mary, you said your ancestors go back to the Hessians, says
yes.
It?
Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had somebody come up to me the other day, and they said, I'd like to be, but my lineage goes back to the Hessians. I go, uh-oh, wrong side. I did, at this event the other day, I had a gal come up to me, and she goes, tell me something about the Daughters of the American Revolution. And I said, yes. I said, what would you like to know? And she says, oh, you know, what do you do? And I said, we do a lot of, we're very busy with the veterans. We do a lot of events for veterans. We go into the schools and various philanthropic things. But our between both organizations, our mission, our motto, our philosophy is to encourage patriotism, to promote education, and to preserve history. Mm. So, you know, all the way around, we're very close to the Sons of the American Revolution, the chapter in New Bern. But
now, give me an example of some of the things that you have done for Constitution Week. Are you allowed to go into the schools?
Well, the private schools and the home schools, they open up with open arms. Mm-hmm. Public school, however, has not been so warm about it. They do have rules. The reason they have not let us come into their school the last couple years is that if they let us in, then they have to let in other clubs and organizations like the Satanic Club. And so in order to keep the bad out, they just keep everybody out. But homeschools and private and parochial schools are very welcoming, very welcoming.
Wow.
It seems to me that you can't throw old clubs together, and there's a historical benefit, an educational benefit to what you bring to those schools. And I don't understand how, with some time, that can't be defeated and be able to drive yourself in there.
I so much agree with you, Glenn, because I spoke to Jennifer Dacey, she's a member of my church, and she's on the school board. And I said, there's no debate about this. This is our country's history. I don't agree with the policies of the school board. And I spoke, you know, I've emailed back and forth with Jennifer Wagner, who is the Craven County, she is the PR person. So, I think hopefully it will be resolved, and we will get more leverage. Hopefully, I'm hopeful in the upcoming year.
Well, it seems to me an easy differentiation is whether the groups coming in making a presentation like your group is facilitating part of their curriculum. I hope that they're not teaching Satanism as part of their curriculum. But if if they're teaching history and a Constitution, a Revolution, your group would blend right in there. When I hear this kind of stuff, it's just excuses for not doing anything.
Right.
People who are afraid to take a position, stand up for things.
That's right.
I agree.
Well, it's amazing. You'd be shocked how many politicians. Oh, it was brought to our attention yesterday at our ceremony in front of the Tryon Palace, and Bob Brinson was telling us how many politicians who now hold office have never read the Constitution, neither the federal Constitution nor the state. And so the Constitution really is something that needs to be taught in our schools, both public and private, parochial and homeschool.
It should be part of their swearing-in ceremony. You know, right. When they have their orientation for the House or the Senate, it should be a class on the Constitution of the state and the federal government.
Agreed.
They swear an Agreed. Oath to it, and if they don't know what it says, well, that might just explain a lot of what's going on, however.
You're right, Kim.
Thomas Jefferson said, it is every American right and obligation to read and interpret the Constitution for himself or herself. So back then, our founding fathers were right on point with it's up to you, and it's your obligation to understand it and interpret it.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I think out of all of the articles in the Constitution, I think it's Article number 10, that I find the most fascinating. And in the last 2 years, I've had to explain that to so many people. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, the pro-abortionists were very upset.
I know you mean amendments. Yes, the amendments.
The 10th Amendment. Mm-hmm. And I had to explain to many people that abortion was never in the Constitution. It was never there except under Amendment 10. And Amendment 10 says anything that's not covered in the rest of the amendments falls under Amendment 10 and goes back to the states, the government closer to the people.
And the flip side of that is having an amendment that outlaws, a federal amendment that outlaws abortion, is just as wrong as Roe versus Wade,
right,
for the same reason, because it is a matter that should be left up to the states where it's closer to the people. And we need to understand that. I mean, we can all have whatever stand we have, but let's work within the law.
Yeah.
Well, and is the law of murder, is that state? Is that?
Yes.
That, so
yes,
murder,
part of the state police
and,
power.
And I agree 100% with that.
But we're in the situation now where a lot of the 10th Amendment has been just put on the back burner because money came with all these other things. I mean, even with when we talk abortion, where there was the big argument about who's going to pay for abortion. You know, the federal payment for abortion seems so wonderful to certain people, not me, by the way.
But keep in mind also that a lot of the things that are affecting this are by regulation. They're not imposed by elected accountable officials. If you look at, say, the Department of Energy, or the environmental agencies, or even the Department of Education, they're not constitutional.
No, they've been pushed on us, and we've accepted it because a lot of money comes with it.
You know, Congress is not making the laws right now.
Yeah, it's like, you mentioned, Bob, about the money from the federal government. They take your taxpayer money, they control it, and then they dish it out with restrictions that they want. It's like this Medicaid expansion that was approved in North Carolina. The reason for that was there was federal money connected to it, and the politicians sold out for those dollars. When in reality, they were dollars coming from the North Carolina taxpayers anyway.
Mm-hmm. They bribe us with our own money.
Yeah.
Yes. It's how we got Common Core. They dangled that carrot in front of us, and
we bit.
How do you catch a fish with either a big hook or a lot of little hooks? Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for staying with us.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And again, welcome back. Now, we have more on the DAR.
We do. If you happen to have joined a membership to, say, family research organizations, and there's quite a few out there that you can join, you're going to find out they already have the documentation. They will help you form your family tree. And they already have documentation on a lot of the people who served in the Revolutionary War. We are, my son and I are now up to Patriot number 7, and they are have, and they, it's already documented what state they were from and what organization they were with and where they served and how you can get a hold of those records. So a lot of that footwork has already been done by the family tree research organizations, and there's a lot. So I'm just going to make a quick suggestion. Instead of buying packages to wrap with a bow for your family for birthday and Christmas and anniversary, instead take that money and join one of those or two. And you'll be able to plot your family tree, find your ancestors, and then find out what they did during the Revolutionary War. There are some excellent books being written out there with great research done. One is called Washington's Indispensables. It's about the Maryland troops during the Revolutionary War.
Is that Patrick K. O'Donnell?
And I can't think of the author's name right now, but they describe the battles that they went into very well, and it's all taken out of the historical stories that were left behind the soldiers that fought in those battles. And it's fascinating to be able to follow their troop movements. You have to understand, if they left New Jersey and ended up fighting in North Carolina and went back to through the other states to New Jersey, they did that on foot. They didn't have trains, they didn't have planes, they didn't have buses. And to see the thousands and thousands and thousands of miles that they walked in order to secure our freedom.
I have a membership question. I know none of my family was in this country until the 1800s, but my husband's family may have been. So if by marriage, can you get associated by marriage, or would it be our children because it would be through him?
It would be your children. But you might want to keep in mind, just because your latest relatives that you know of, you have to remember, for each set of grandparents, there's two. And for each of them, there's two. And if you do your research, you may find out that, yes, you do have patriots, and they go back farther.
I have a question. You mentioned Patriot 7. What does that mean?
Patriots. Those are those who served or gave aid to the Continental Army.
What was the seven designated?
By name. Seven people. Seven individuals you're talking.
Yeah, she found seven patriots.
Oh, okay.
In
her family. Okay, I thought it was
in
a hierarchy.
In my family, we have already found seven.
Okay.
And those are just men. Now, don't forget that you can also join under women who served. We don't think about that very often, but for a lot of them, everywhere the troops went, there was wives and children with it. You see, either you were a patriot and you were looking to be free from England, or you were a loyalist that wanted to stay a part of England. And if you went off to war and left your wife and children behind, they could fall prey to the loyalists. So a lot of them took their wives and children with them. And wives served in those camps. George Washington made a complaint at Valley Forge about such a horrible shortage of food. He not only had to find food for his soldiers and the horses, he also had to feed the wives and the children. But those wives were there taking care of the sick and doing laundry and doing cooking and knitting socks to keep their feet warm. The wives also served. Now, here's one that's going to surprise you. We all are familiar with the story of the woman who loaded the cannon and shot it while her husband was down. And they called that Molly Pitcher.
Molly Pitcher, yep.
Now, Molly Pitcher really was not a real person. She was a real person, but that was not her name. Her husband, he was in charge of a group of men that was operating a cannon in battle. And cannons, once you shoot that cannon, you can't just reload it. You have to cool that barrel down, because if you try to shoot again, it's going to blow up on you. So the teenage girls and the young women would be down in the ravine next to the creek where there was a water supply, holding pitchers. And they would fill those waters up with pitchers, and they'd duck down in the ravine in the heat of battle. And when somebody would fire a cannon, they would call Molly Pitcher. Molly was a common nickname during that era. And some teenage girl or young woman would pop up, run across the battlefield. Many of them got shot. They'd run across the battlefield with those pitchers, and they'd pour water over the cannons to cool them so they could fire them again. Now, you can join under them as a patriot also. So it wasn't just men that fought for the freedom of the United States. It was women who fought and served for the freedom of the United States. And we're starting to see in our periodicals more female names that are being named as patriots. So you would be amazed. Do your family tree. You may have patriots that you don't know about.
I'm not giving 23andMe any DNA, because I'm already on
something,
Big Brother's list.
A couple things I wanted to mention.
You don't have to give them DNA to research your family tree.
Yeah, you don't have to give to research. But it's a wonderful gift to give to the whole family instead of something wrapped in a bow.
A couple of things I wanted to mention is that if you happen to see it a few weeks ago when we prepared for the New Bern Resolves, which is another story for another day, you could see what we created was the Patriot Pathway, and it was on where Wilson, it's across from the Nautical Wheeler, that big stretch of grass there. So we had these silhouettes of, like, you know, the tricorn hats, and you'd have the patriot underneath there. So anybody who bought a sign, it was like, for instance, my patriot was there. His name was Haynes Fitch. But we had all these ones, and then we had the black patriots, the Harlow patriots. Those were free, I believe they're free black men that picked up muskets or whatever and fought in the Revolutionary War. So we had those as well out there. So, but another thing, keep in mind, there are people that are trained, they take courses in the DAR and the SAR to do genealogy. So we have our own. So Bob, you know, I'm sure you're working with Gary, so yeah.
Once you present your family tree to your local DAR or SAR group, then their genealogists will go back and they will research the documentation that says, yes, this is person descended from this person, which descended from this person.
And by the way, in my family tree going back, and you know, last name Griswold or whatever else, besides the vacation movies, yeah, we go back. But I have ancestors that I know fought, and then when I look at, again, as you mentioned, you've got parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and it doubles each generation. When I look at the Ingersoll family and a few other families, the Phelps, and now I'm drawing a blank, but Captain so-and-so and Lieutenant so-and-so, and, you know, all of these folks that have the military rank back at that era, yes, I've got more than one source.
The Griswold Family Association, which is a National Group of Griswolds, if you can imagine any such thing, also has a genealogist and does this. And they are not as large as you guys are, but they also have scholarships and things like that. And when they get together, they do history.
My son and I discovered something interesting, and thank goodness both of my parents have passed, because we're not sure how they would have handled this had they known it before they died. But that is my mother. She is a descendant from the Barnes family, B-A-R-N-E-S. And one historian wrote that there was enough Barnes serving in the Revolutionary War, they could have made their own battalion. Oddly enough, as we go up through my father's side, Bentley, his father and grandfather came directly from England, so we thought nothing there, but then there was Grandma. Well, bless her heart, there are Barnes in her family too. So both my parents have Barnes in their descendant, and they all served there. We have Barnes on both sides that served in the Revolutionary War. Now, had my parents known they were distant cousins, I don't know if they'd ever would have got married. I might not even existed.
But when you think about colonial America, there was a lot of second and third and fourth cousins who got married because there weren't that many people around.
A town might be 50 or 75 people. Where are you going to go? You can't take the bus to the next town.
Yeah. So that was, back then, that was not uncommon. In fact, just to, not having to do with America, but having to do with what happens when you have a small population or a isolated population, which you would have in colonial days. In Iceland, if you go out with someone more than once, you have to go to the government and check to make sure they're not a relative.
Not a first cousin.
Yeah. Not first.
Because, again, it's an isolated island with an isolated population, and they're trying to make sure that they don't create any problems that they can't solve.
Now, another interesting book was it talks about how we ended up with the Navy after the Revolutionary War. And Brian Kilmeade wrote that one, and I learned something in there I never covered in history class in school, and that is how we became with a permanent Navy, and that was our wars against the pirates of Tripoli.
Mm-hmm.
And those in Tripoli and that country, they took a lot of sailors from foreign countries. They did a lot of pirating, and they would capture the sailors on the ships, mm-hmm. and they would hold them as slaves. And the United States stood up and said, well, we're not going to take this anymore. And we ended up going to war with them and won, and that's how we got our permanent Navy.
And the term leatherneck for the Marines was that they, in fact, did have a leather leather collar to prevent them from being hit with a sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break, but before we go for this quick break, I need to read off one quick sentence, and it says, quote, our new Constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable, but in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Benjamin Franklin. We're going to take a quick break.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Kim, do you have...
Well, I just had a comment to make on the fact that the kids are not able to enjoy the Daughters of the Revolution history lessons in Craven County when our General Assembly in 2011 passed the Founding Principles Act, and it... basically says that the kids before they graduate high school have to have a full semester of the founding documents. And I would assume that this would be included in the founding documents. I don't understand why. They don't teach the civics anymore. But it's basically to say that the kids, just out of the act, the kids have to acknowledge it's the creator endowed inalienable right to the people, and it's including the structure of the government, the separation of powers with checks and balances, frequent and free elections in a representative, notice I did not say democracy, representative government, rule of law, equal justice under the law, private property rights, federalism, due process, individual rights as set forth in the Bill of Rights, individual responsibility. Now, the Senate also had a concurring act, and it did pass. And I would just ask Craven County Schools, what are they doing to comply with 588?
Now that addresses high schools, not the elementary.
It does reference high school level curriculum based on some, but
when we were there, it was when we were fighting against Common Core, and we were there. CCTA was there, and I was their spokesperson at the time, and we were testifying against the rewriting of the advanced placement history, and also in favor of this 588. And it just happened that the day we were there to testify, Dr. June Atkinson at the time was saying how they are in compliance with 588 because in sixth grade you have this, and in eighth grade you have this, and in ninth grade you have this. And if you put them all together, you have a full semester. Well, that was not the intent of the law.
And, that's not and high in addition, school either. Sorry. Right. It's not high school either.
Yeah. And in addition to this, it's the posting of a lot of those original documents, including the Ten Commandments, and the Constitution and all those founding principle documents to be posted in schools.
And it also required the school districts to supply to the Joint Oversight Education Committee proof of compliance. I would be curious as to whether that's ever happened. Because I don't see how anything that has to do with civics is not allowed.
Well, excuse me. What's interesting is when I went to school and living back in Illinois, I was a teacher. So in order for me to get my teaching license, which was K through 12, I had to pass the U.S. Constitution. So that was something I passed out in my resource materials to the schools that we presented at. And in this folder was a plethora of different documents and things that they could, you know, just other resource materials that teachers could use. But the one of them was the all listing of all the amendments, and then was a self-test. It was a U.S. Constitution self-test. I'm like, when I have a free moment, I'm going to take it over again. I'm going to look at it and take it. But you'd be surprised at some of those questions that I'm like, it was pretty interesting. But that's something, you know, now that you bring this to my attention, Sharon and I could at least probably speak with the powers that may be, like maybe Jennifer Dacey on the school board, and say, can you give us proof that this is being, I mean, you know, we can't really get involved with that aspect, but, you know.
What about an individual teacher? Is an individual teacher allowed to come to you and say, could you do this for my class? Does it have to be countywide or schoolwide?
I don't know. That's something we'll look into.
Well, I do know that as individuals, we each have the right to come before the school board and ask them the question of how something is being done. And if you do that, please ask for a written reply of the subject that you are asking, because historically in Craven County, I'm not saying right now, you used to get the letter back, the boilerplate letter back that said, thank you for your concern. We'll look into that, period. That was it. That was all that you got.
I have seen your presentation, and it would be the perfect capstone to a semester or a 6-week, whatever, on American history from a kid's eye view. Because you talk about the costumes, you talk about the food, you talk about the things of history that maybe the history books don't go into, but that are so much a part of everyday life that particularly in elementary school, you're much more likely to catch a kid's interest with that than you are with other things.
You'd be surprised at the we were at New Bern Christian Academy this morning, and the hands that went up, and they wanted to know so much. And because we had two of the four presenters, I was the person looking, I was the chairperson, but everybody else was in period costume. But it's like we broke it down, you know, Bob, Mary, and everybody here, we broke it down to simple it. How do we get to this point? Well, as I started off explaining, in the 1600s, there were people from England, people from Europe, came here, settled. They were under the crown, and everything was going fine. But then all of a sudden, things started happening. The British lost all these wars, so they came over and they wanted to start, you know,
taking our money,
extorting from us, basically, in a way that they wouldn't understand that. But you know, asking for us to pay, and they were charging our goods a higher price. And then all these other things percolated with the Stamp Act and all these different acts. And then the colonists just got fed up, and you know, and I explained that in the origins from the Declaration and to the Constitution. And
it's the economy, stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point.
They went to war over a lot less than what we're facing now.
Yeah, our taxes are a little higher than the tax on tea.
Well, something interesting, just now I'm thinking about it, we were talking about it today. They did a redo of the Boston Tea Party. On the date that it happened, they I think they used an old ship in Boston or whatever, and people, some of the DAR chapters, they had a big letter out, hey, send some tea, you know, whatever.
And they've done that in Edenton, yeah. Too. They did
really?
In Edenton,
yeah. Right.
And the Albemarle Sound.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning, when the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson was adamant that it was absolutely critical for the country to survive that the next generations had to be educated about the principles behind the Constitution and about America, how it was founded. So that was right from the beginning. And we're failing that, clearly, from the conversation going on. We're failing it with our resident populations. Now, on top of that, you add the millions of people coming into the country uninvited, illegally, and their culture and their understanding of how they want to live is diametrically opposed in a lot of ways to what's going on. And, you know, this is a very important topic. If we can't teach our own citizens and the children of our citizens, there's very little hope we're going to get to these immigrant groups.
You mean the 20,000 Haitians in Springfield don't know anything about the Constitution?
Well, they don't know they're not supposed to eat some neighbor's cats.
You silly boy.
But there is something to be said for Western civilization, and our Constitution is part of that. We have a system of laws. We have a system where theoretically everyone is equal under the law. We haven't done too well with that, but that's our theory. And to bring in thousands of people who don't have to take a citizenship test, which you have to do if you come here legally, who have no concept. One of the problems that they've had in Springfield that they can document with videos is car accidents, because people are getting licenses who have no clue how to drive. And I don't know which, Bob, do you know which side of the road Haiti drives on?
I do not. Well, but, actually, all I know is they drive with the horn. It's got nothing to do with the side of the road.
It's like India.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But again, we're bringing people in that have no concept of our culture, no concept of how America works and what the rules are, who have no visible means of support. We don't. I seriously doubt Springfield has adequate housing, although I have heard that the, oddly enough, some of the leaders in Springfield have a lot of rental property.
Mm. The landlords are kicking out the regular residents and then renting the rooms, like
because
in a house.
The government is paying for more?
The government pays higher rates, but they'll put a whole family in one room. So they'll have a house and they'll have three families in there.
Where Americans wouldn't put up with that. And car insurance rates, of course, are going through the roof, because you can be parked on the street and somebody comes wheeling down the street and just crashes into you.
Now, are these people trying to assimilate, or are they here for the gimmies?
They're here for the gimme.
Yeah, and we're experiencing it, but we're kind of a little bit behind what Europe's going through. Europe has this problem worse than we have, actually. And one of the issues is these illegal immigrants coming over with, again, values and principles that do not conform with our country. They have a much higher birth rate. So they are having more children than the typical Americans are having. We're not even maintaining our population. And what they're doing in some of the countries, for example, France, they anticipate by 2050, 25% of the entire population of France will be Muslim. Mm. Okay, and that country and Germany the same way, and the people are rebelling. They had recent votes. Sweden recently announced that they were going to start a program to pay every illegal immigrant $35,000 to send them out. They would give them $35,000 to leave. Now, my fear is that where are they going to go?
Here.
They're going to go to the United States with our open border. But the point I'm saying is that these countries are realizing they can't maintain their integrity and their culture and their values unless something drastic is done.
You'd think they would have studied Roman history. What happened to the Roman Empire? Mass migration. History, people who ignore history are doomed to repeat the same mistakes.
One of the things, too, in Paris, some of the restaurants have been, pressured by the Muslim community to no longer serve alcohol and to no longer serve pork. So it has had a very definite influence on the French culture and on the French dietary habits, because the French aren't free to eat like French people.
What amazes me are those who do come in by the legal process, and they learn the language and they educate their kids. What I find so surprising is their work ethic. Their work ethic is so strong, and their children are graduating at the top of their class because these people truly believe that if you work hard, you can be anything in the United States of America.
They believe in freedom.
The American dream is real.
Yes.
For those that work for it.
Just not necessarily for the Americans that were born.
Yeah. Correct. I think we have lost a lot of that in our culture.
Yep. Yes. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call. Stop in at East 70 Pawn for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to us. And I know we went through some fairly heavy topics, I guess, or some controversial topics. But, Pat, you've got better information for us today.
Now, time to segue into something really important. Today, the 18th, is National Cheeseburger Day.
Yay!
So in honor of that, I had a cheeseburger for lunch with extra onions, so everybody sit away from me. Cheeseburger is one of my favorite meals.
Oh, yes.
So yes. You're hearing this after National Cheeseburger Day, but have one anyway.
And folks, have a natural cheeseburger. What, not one made from bugs or whatever?
Sawdust.
Soybean, grasshoppers,
yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
No veggie burger, please.
No veggie burger. This is cheeseburger. And let's see, what else happened? Tupperware filed bankruptcy.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
And so we'll never find those lids.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, Tupperware filed bankruptcy. They're looking to sell the company.
Wow. And
retain the name, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Walmart come to town and put everybody else out of business.
That's true, too.
You know, you got Rubbermaid and some of the other ones. Yeah. They said, if he can make money on it, watch us.
Alan, you had a more serious topic that we were...
Yeah, I think we all need to recognize and acknowledge that we had another threat against our country with the second assassination effort against Donald Trump. And this reflects something that is really, really serious in our country. And you can kind of think these are isolated events, but when you look at the opposition to Donald Trump and what they've been doing, starting off with trying to indict him for all these different charges, trying to convict him on these false charges, all that stuff. And really,
if you think about the amount of money that he's had to spend to defend himself, you can break somebody just by charging them, even if it's false, because they have to defend themselves. So economically, then they come out with all these false attacks saying that he is a threat to democracy. He's like Hitler. All these negative comments, again, attacking him, not discussing his policies or what he plans to do. That's not an issue. And then they the same group, okay, the oligarchs that are opposing him, they kick Biden out. They came up with whatever leverage they use with Biden, because right up to the last minute, Biden kept saying, I'm not going to leave. I want to run. And then all of a sudden, within a couple of days, whatever they had on him, so they move him out. Now they put in a candidate that has never gotten any votes to in a primary. He's never won a primary, as far as I know. Mm-mm. And then, you know, you have, on top of that, you have a history of them not providing Secret Service protection, number one, for Robert Kennedy. He asked for it, and they denied it. Then with it's coming out now that Donald Trump asked for additional Secret Service protection on multiple occasions, and that was denied. Now, then you see two attempts on almost successful. Okay,
yes.
Thank God or whomever is controlling this that they weren't successful, but they could very well have been very easily. It's if you look at that pattern of what I just described, it's easy to come up with the idea that this group that are opposed to him, whether they would initiate, I'm not saying they would initiate it themselves, but they would be very happy with the outcome that could have happened with this second assassination attempt.
I think part of this is to take a look at the threat that Donald Trump is to the establishment and to some particular areas of the establishment. We have been in a place for a number of years now where Congress isn't writing our laws. The regulators, unelected bureaucrats, are writing our laws. Now, the Supreme Court set that back a little with their Chevron decision. But Donald Trump is a threat to the status quo and the establishment in Washington.
Part of the status quo that concerns me is the unending wars and the military-industrial complex and the fact that we have people in great positions of authority and positions of power with a whole lot of money, BlackRock, for example, who are funded and funding the continual war. We have every party, and it's the money versus the people. We, the people, have turned into pawns on a chessboard. We are not making the decisions that are affecting our lives.
And it bothers me. We have thrown billions into Ukraine, and we are withholding aid from Israel that is fighting for its survival. That seems a little uneven.
What's scary to me about this whole process, what's going on, is you had an attempt on President Trump's life that he just missed being killed. Okay. The Secret Service obviously did not have sufficient protection. Their job is to protect them. They failed. Now we, 30 days later, 35 days, whatever it was, we have another attempt. They failed again.
Mm-hmm.
They fired the first director resigned. The fellow's in charge of that now. He should be fired. You cannot allow this kind of failure. And, you know, now they're coming out and say, well, maybe we'll increase his protection. It's hard to look at this and not see a pattern that needs to be stopped.
You know why Florida is investigating his assassination attempt? Because the guy that's in charge of the field office for the FBI is a virulent Trump hater.
Yes.
And before he was promoted, they made him scrub his social media because of all the stuff he had posted against Trump. DeSantis, Florida, says if they hate him this much, then they shouldn't be investigating themselves.
Well, I want to know why I shouldn't think that this is an inside job and another CIA black op, considering that this person allegedly was in the spot ready to shoot at the president for more than 11 hours. But how did he know in advance that the president was going to be golfing when what went out on the media was that this was an unplanned, unscheduled event? So who told the shooter that Trump was going to be there?
And who told him a day ahead of time?
Yeah, it's hard for me not to be a conspiracy theorist on this.
And he had a record. Not only did he have a criminal record, but he had a record of doing very controversial things. He was involved with Ukraine. Ukraine didn't want him. Said he was on the FBI radar, and still he wasn't tracked. He wasn't. I mean, obviously, we have a system. Now, we have a Secret Service whose budget is like, what, $6 billion, billion or something like that. They've got 8,000 employees. A lot of their employees are out doing investigations on white-collar crimes. That all should be stopped. They should have one job. One job only is to provide the best protection possible for presidents, president-elects, and anyone like Trump, who they know is a target, should get extra protection, more so even than the categories of president and vice president.
Senator Lindsey Graham was doing several interviews over the weekend, and he made mention, he said, the Secret Service needs to be put back into the Treasury Department and taken away from Homeland Security. Because when they were part of the Treasury Department, they did their job well. They need to get away from Homeland Security in that particular group. I tend to agree with him.
At the same time, we need to put some blame on the Trump employees as well, because this spot that the shooter was camped in at was a well-known spot that other paparazzi has camped out in the past to take photos of him. So you would think that Trump would have his own security around the perimeter.
But the
himself.
Secret Service didn't even walk the perimeter. Well, as a military person, you walk the perimeter.
I understand that, but if I'm the president and I had someone try to shoot me a month ago, I'm not counting on them to protect my ass.
I just want to make a comment. The last I heard, and this may have changed, the charges against the attempted assassin is gun possession by a felon.
Well, yeah, they had to charge him something immediately.
And while they finished, you know, their little investigation to figure out which charges. So
you figure more charges are coming.
More charges are coming, but they had those charges immediately on hand because he's only got a few days before he's got to be in front of a judge to be arraigned and bail set. So that's what that's about.
Oh, okay.
I would like to just make a brief comment before we end, and that's about the upcoming election. Early voting starts in North Carolina on October 17th. There are four or five different venues, one of which is downtown New Bern, 406 Graven Street. You can vote early, and it's for about 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks. So that's one option. The other option is to vote in your local polling place. But please, this is a critical election. You must get out and vote. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. You vote your heart and with your soul. But one other thing, remember, there is a state constitutional referendum on the ballot that would restrict voting to only United States citizens, even in local races. And that needs to be, you need to be aware of that and make your decision on that or whether you support that or not.
And vote all the way down the ballot, because it's the last thing on the ballot.
And although you are registered and you feel sure you're registered, I'm going to encourage everyone to go back to the Board of Elections here in Craven County or the state website and check to make sure, because we have had some complaints of people who thought they were registered to vote and they don't pop up on the state registry. So everyone go out and check. Make sure that you are registered.
Very good. Folks, we've run out of time for the show. Thank you for staying with us. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show. Thank you.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m., some days at 11 a.m., and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.